Gracious Father, we are so thrilled to be able to come into your presence to give you our worship today. Father, I pray that you will be exalted, King Jesus, that you would be lifted high. And I pray, Holy Spirit, come, guide us in this glorious truth of your word. Come transform us, come shake us, come make us more and more alive in Christ. We long for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, before we begin and dive into this beautiful word this morning, I've got to share just on a personal note an exciting news that the Cook family has right now. Our oldest daughter, Ann Claire, got engaged yesterday to Connor Gatos. I know I'm embarrassing you. Kimberly and I have been praying for this day for God ever since Ann Claire was born, and that God would bring such a godly man in Connor. Many of y'all know his family, Mark and Amy Gatos, and their kids. They're a part of St. Andrew's, and it's a real blessing for us to get to share and be able to do life with them in a whole nother way. So I share that with you that we could celebrate together, but I welcome your prayers for them as they go down this journey and get married at the end of the summer. So we're real excited about what God is doing. So as a dad, this is kind of surreal. I feel like I'm kind of on cloud nine. I'm ecstatic, but going, oh my gosh, this is really happening. But those of you who are parents who've had kids get married, you know exactly what that is like. So anyway, we're excited about this. Well, let's dive into this. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 8, the latter part of it. But I just want to remind you of this. A few weeks ago in one of my sermons, I mentioned this, that after the resurrection, what we see is the power of God at work in the people of God as we participate in God restoring the broken places of this world. Do you remember that? I'm going to say it again because I think it's a crucial statement for us to understand who we are as God's followers and what he's called us to. So after the resurrection, what we find is the power of God at work in the people of God as we participate in God restoring the broken places of this world. Friends, the challenge for you and me is that we would enter into more fully the call that has been given to us by our Savior, that we would be disciples, right? A disciple is a follower, that we would be disciples who are making disciples. That's the call of our lives today. And so there's two things that I want to look at in light of that in this passage in Acts chapter 8. And the first is this, that as a result of that, we need to be aware that God is sovereignly at work in and through us in everything that is going on in the world today. God is sovereignly at work. Not only do we see God sovereignly at work, we recognize this in those often ordinary and routines of where you and I live every day. There are times that we see and experience the extraordinary guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things I want us to look at this morning in particular. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the big picture for a few minutes of what's happening in this chapter, in this scene in Acts chapter 8. So big picture, and then we're going to go real narrow. We're going to focus in on just one particular aspect of this story. There's a lot that could be said here, but we're going to look at just one aspect, and it's this. We're going to look at the extraordinary guidance of the Holy Spirit and how you and I can have ears more attuned to hear and to be led by his promptings. So let me first begin with this big picture that we would understand that God is sovereignly at work in all of the ordinary moments of our lives. You remember Jesus' words before he ascended into heaven? This is after his resurrection. He's speaking to his disciples. And you remember the words, the Great Commission, as we call it. Jesus began by saying these words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. Y'all, this is huge for us to grasp. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." What you and I need to see is that Jesus rules the seen and unseen world. He rules it and he reigns. This is his. And we need to be reminded that he has defeated the enemy. And he has triumphed over all evil. Friends, this is God's world. And he is ruling and reigning over every square inch of it. And we need to know that because, friends, when we do, we realize that God really is in control. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what we see or may experience, God is in control, and he's at work restoring the broken places of your life, my life, and this world. So let me set the context of where we are in the book of Acts. At this point, where we are, Stephen has been persecuted and stoned to death. Now, the church had just begun, right? This is after Jesus ascended into heaven, and the church is beginning to grow, but there's all kinds of persecution. And so we enter into this chapter 8 of Acts, and here's what we read. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose in that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And then drop down to verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Incredible persecution, yet the word of God is still going out. One of the themes of the book of Acts is this: internal growth in the midst of external opposition. You see, despite opposition, what they faced and what you and I face today, guess what? The church is growing, and the church will continue to. You know why? Because this is God's world, and he is ruling and reigning over every square inch of it. He is in control. We need to remember that. I think we can often forget it. And so I want to highlight certain elements of the text this morning that was read, Acts chapter 26, or 8, verses 26 through 40. I'm just going to highlight a few of the points, because what I want you to see big picture is how God is sovereignly in control in ordinary moments of life. So the scene unfolds before us, and Philip the evangelist is proclaiming the gospel in Samaria. And it's interesting, because as he is, you find more and more people are coming to faith in Christ. And in the midst of this, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit would come upon him and lead him away for a bit, right? I want you to see that God is in control. He's in control of what's going on in Samaria as the gospel goes out. And then he calls and he leads. It's interesting. He leads Philip away, and he says to him, and says, go south to the road that goes between Jerusalem and Gaza. He goes into this desert road, and I'm sure Philip is going, why? But when you hear from the Holy Spirit to go, you go, don't you? And that's exactly what he did. Now, not knowing what to expect, he obeys and he goes and he's on this road. Well, up comes along this chariot with this Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace. And as this chariot is going by, what's fascinating is this. At that very moment, Philip hears him reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Now, it's interesting, because in that day, the scriptures were read out loud. And so here's Philip standing there, not knowing what's going on, but he knew the Holy Spirit called him to go there. This chariot comes by, and this man who he'd never known is reading Isaiah 53. And listen to these words again. Isaiah 53 says this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. I want you to see how God's sovereignly at work. In that very moment, God placed Philip there as this Ethiopian eunuch is reading the scriptures from Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant. He has no idea what he's reading or what it really means. And the Holy Spirit again comes to Philip and says, go. Go up to him and get on the chariot. So Philip goes up to him, and he asks the question, do you know what you're reading? And he says, no, how can I unless somebody shows me? And that's huge. And so he says, come up. And he invites him up, and he explains the beauty of the scriptures to him. Again, God sovereignly at work. The Ethiopian eunuch comes to faith in Christ. And as they're journeying along, they come upon this body of water. I want you to see the reality. They're in a desert, yet there was a pool of water there. God is sovereignly in control of everything. He knew exactly at the right moment, the right time, what would happen. And the Ethiopian eunuch is baptized, and then the Holy Spirit carries Philip off to another place. Friends, I want you to see in this text this morning, God breaks through every barrier. Because God is sovereignly in control of everything. This is God's world, We need to remember that. And he is ruling and reigning over every square inch of it. That's what we see happening in this passage in Acts chapter 8. And I want you to see that's exactly what he's doing today among us. He is at work. And I want you to think for a second about what's before you today. What are those challenges? What are those obstacles? What are those fears that are before you? What's gripping your heart? Maybe for some of you this morning, even paralyzing you. I want you to think about what those are. And then I want you to think about what difference would it make if you knew that Jesus was sovereignly in control of everything in your life today. Even those places where you do not understand what's going on or why. What difference would it make if you knew and believed, God, you are in control? You see, God's sovereignly in control, not just in those places, those challenging places in our lives. God is in control as he's using us, as we avail ourselves to be disciples who are making disciples. You see, he has the power to break through any obstacle that's before us. Even when the people that you know that aren't followers of Jesus, even when you have a relationship with them and you've been talking to them, and it seems that they are so inaccessible, that their hearts are so inaccessible to the gospel, I want you to remember that Jesus is in control. This is his world, and he is sovereignly ruling and reigning over every part of it. That's the big picture, and we need to remember the big picture. Now we're going to narrow down to one particular part that we see happening in this passage this morning. We're going to narrow our focus to the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes we experience the extraordinary guidance of the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced that before? But it's interesting is this. Most of life, and we know this, most of life is just lived faithfully, living out whatever God's put before us, where we live, work, and play, right? That's where most of us live life, right? That's exactly what Philip, this evangelist, was doing. He was doing and just living life, what God called him to, every day, right? Now, I want you to think about your own life. When you get up and go to your place of work in the morning, or maybe it's at home, whatever you're doing, in those ordinary, mundane tasks that are before us, this is where we live life, right? But what I want you to see at times in those ordinary, mundane places, the Holy Spirit comes in an extraordinary way and nudges us, guides us, speaks to us, because he's got a specific task for us ahead. And I want you to see how this takes place looking at Acts chapter 8 again. Look at, if you've got your bulletin, look at it. We're going to look at three verses there, starting at Acts 8, 26. We read, "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip." Now, don't miss that. The angel of the Lord said this to Philip. Now, we don't know if it was a true angel of the Lord or if that was the Holy Spirit. Commentators, you know, they look at this and they go, we're not really sure. We think it's really the Holy Spirit. But at the end of the day, we do know that the Lord gave Philip divine guidance. Okay? We do know that the Lord spoke clearly to Philip and gave him this divine guidance to go. And he said, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." He says this is a desert place. And then we go on and we read this. "And the Spirit said to Philip," again, the Holy Spirit spoke and gave clarity to what Philip was to do. And he said, "Go over and join this chariot." And after a few verses, we come down and we read this. "And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away." Now, I don't think that he floated somewhere, right? You could think he carried him away and he's like a ghost. No, I think the Holy Spirit made it clear that Philip was to go someplace else next. And Philip heard that word from the Lord and he went and he obeyed. What I want you to see this morning out of this passage is this. The role of the Holy Spirit is crucial in us living lives as disciples who are making disciples. Do you have ears to hear? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit still speaks and guides us today? I love this because what we see is Philip, he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. he was sensitive to the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. Because he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's presence in his life, he had an openness to hear. He had an openness of the nudgings and promptings of the Holy Spirit. Friends, what I believe Scripture shows us, not only in this passage, but in a number of different passages in the book of Acts, is this. This is one of the ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives. It's one of the ways the Holy Spirit speaks. He nudges, he guides us, he gives us direction in a specific way that he's longing for us to follow, and we then see the Lord at work there. Now, I highlight this morning because while every follower of Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit, that's a reality. I think that many people in the church today live with little recognition of his presence, work, and power in their lives. Do you see that? And I see that in the church, and I wrestle with that in my own life. But what I think in the church today, largely in America, I can't speak around the world, but largely here, I think that while we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have little recognition of his presence, power, and work in our lives. So I want to step back and ask, what does this look like? What does it look like to hear from the Holy Spirit? What does it look like to be led and guided in these extraordinary times when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to guide us in a certain way? So let me ask this question. Have you ever had, and I don't know if this is the right word, but it's the word that I use to articulate it. Have you ever had that nudging of the Holy Spirit when he puts someone on your mind to go to, and maybe he even gives you something specific to share with them? Have you ever had that happen? Maybe it was in a dream, and you dreamed about someone, and the Lord put someone on your heart, right? I've had those times. I would gather some of you have as well, and I would gather some of you have responded just like me, doing nothing, right? But then you all of a sudden come, and as the Lord kind of opens pulls the curtains back a little bit, he shows us, wow, I missed that opportunity, that person, you know, with that person I was talking with. But then you've had those times when you have responded, and you're like, oh my goodness, Lord. Wow. This was months and months ago. I had a dream of a family who had left this church and lives in Dallas now, and they were on my mind the entire evening. So I woke up, and I was like, Lord, why did you put them on my mind? I didn't know why. So I texted them, and I said, hey, I just want you to know I was up last night praying for y'all. I don't know what's going on, but you've just been on my heart. I got a text back later that day saying, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that. They said, we're going through some challenging stuff right now. They said, thank you for praying. Friends, that's a nudging of the Holy Spirit. I think that's a work of the Holy Spirit speaking to say, I want you to intercede for this person. That's one example or picture. I think there are a number of other ways. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit, I believe, speaks to us in those nudgings or through dreams or through visions or through prophetic words. We see this in Acts chapter 2. Verse 17, it's the fulfillment after Pentecost of Joel's prophecy. And I want you to hear these words because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And if you wonder, does that happen or did it happen, fast forward to Acts chapter 10, where you have Cornelius having a dream, a vision about Peter, and then Peter that same time having a dream and vision about Gentiles. The Holy Spirit leading them in a specific way for a specific task that people would come to know and see who our Savior is. This is hard for some of you, and I know that. But here's a question. Here's some questions I want to ask. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit still speaks today? Do you believe that he does? Are you open to hear from him? Or does this sound foreign to you? You're here this morning and you're going, okay, Robert, you're talking about dreams and visions and prophetic words. This is weird. For some of you, it may sound foreign. For some of you, it may sound scary, right? If this is challenging for you to grasp, that the Holy Spirit speaks to us with those nudgings or dreams or visions or prophetic words, whatever you want to call them. If that is challenging, I want you to know this. I get it. I get it. Because this is something that I have wrestled with for years, trying to understand, trying to make sense of things that I didn't understand. But here's where I've come. The more I've studied Scripture, the more I've opened to God's Word, the more I've been open to the Lord just speaking to me through His Word, I can't help but realize that just as the Holy Spirit moved in this scene in the book of Acts chapter 8, so He moves in our lives today. And I recognize for some of you, this is challenging stuff. It's challenging because it can be very uncomfortable to think, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit speaks outside of God's Word? I thought God's Word was the only place of true authority. Well, it is. But the Holy Spirit also speaks, and I believe always when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's always in conjunction with God's Word. Do you hear that? It's not just some hokey thing out there, right? The Holy Spirit always speaks in conjunction with God's Word. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll share a little bit of my story on this. For years, I thought I would read the passage like this, and I thought, this is so strange, because I've heard people give words and say, this was a word from the Lord, right? And I've come to realize that in those moments, it was just for personal gain, for their personal gain. Or they would have a word from the Lord, or they would say something, and it was that they were really coming across as more spiritual than everybody else, right? Because I wasn't hearing anything. And they were coming across as these hyper-spiritual people, right? Well, there are ways that this can be misused. And I saw a fair amount of misuse of it. And that was the reason why I said, it doesn't happen anymore. Because I saw its misuse. But you know what I came to realize? I was basing my theology on experiences that were negative as opposed to what God's Word actually says. And when I stepped back to really go into God's Word, to set my experiences over here and to dive into God's Word, what do you really say on this? I began to see that this is a true reality for the church today. Friends, the Holy Spirit is alive and at work, just as He was in the book of Acts, and He is today. That the gospel would go forth with great power. Oh, that the church would receive that and believe it and live out of that and have ears to hear. I heard John Piper, many of you know who John Piper is. I heard John Piper say once, as he was talking about a pastor whose church, many of the people in his congregation, were experiencing these extraordinary nudgings and leadings of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to hear the questions that he asked and the response of the pastor. Here's what John Piper asked. Has the effect of these extraordinary leadings of the Holy Spirit, your church hearing the Holy Spirit and them following in these ways, has the effect been to draw them away from the Bible? Is the excitement of receiving some special direction from the Lord making Bible reading seem dull and unattractive? And his answer was no. And here's what he said. If anything, their experience is driving them to their Bibles more and more, not only for discernment, but also because, now get this, but also because they've discovered that there's a direct correlation between having the mind steeped and saturated with Scripture and being sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Having their mind steeped and saturated in the Scriptures, that through that we hear more clearly the nudging, the leading, the guiding of the Holy Spirit. He went on to say this. John Piper wrote this, or said this. If people are neglecting meditation on Scripture in favor of impressions and special words, you can be sure that their spiritual faculties will not be well tuned to hear the truth. You see how true that is? Do you see how crucial it is that you and I see the ultimate authority of God's Word? And as we live out of it, as we bathe in it, and as we soak it in, we are able to hear more clearly, I believe, the guiding and leading and nudging of the Holy Spirit. Well, John Piper went on to say this, and I love this picture. He said that these revelations from God can be dangerous if we use them for personal gain. And I will say amen to that. Any revelation from the Holy Spirit can be incredibly dangerous if you and I seek to use them for personal gain. And I know some of you in here have. And that's where repentance has to come, in humility before the Lord, right? He says this. He likens the danger to a knife, and I love this picture. He likens this danger to a knife. A knife can hurt people, can't it? But we don't outlaw them, right? It can hurt people, but we don't outlaw them, because when rightly used, they are so helpful in preparing food. Who in here cooks does not have a knife in their kitchen, right? They can be dangerous, but when rightly used, oh, it can make an incredible meal or help. So it is with the Holy Spirit. He can be dangerous if we do not submit and humble ourselves and focus on Scripture and listening to Him and being faithful and the nudging and guiding. But oh, it can be so beautiful when He leads us to share the gospel with people, that He opens their ears that they may hear and their lives be redeemed. So friends, our challenge as we wrap this up, I want you to hear, is God is sovereignly at work in this world. He is. Jesus is. This is His world. He owns every square inch of it. And He's longing to redeem broken lives and broken places. Our call is that we would saturate ourselves, that we would dive in, soak up God's word. And I would add prayer to that, that as we do, I believe we will begin to hear more and more those nudgings, leadings of the Holy Spirit that He gives to us, that we would be a people so set on fire with His Holy Spirit that we would go and be unashamed to talk to whoever God puts us in front of, because He's in control and because He's leading us in every way. That's my prayer for us at St. Andrews. This is a lot of stuff I've talked about. This is a lot of stuff. For some of you, it may be new. For some of you, you're wrestling with it, and I will tell you that's a good place to be. Keep wrestling. Dive in and let God show you through His word. But be open, because the Lord speaks powerfully through His Holy Spirit. So before we end, one opportunity I want to put before you in this. The importance of God's word, the importance of prayer. This coming Friday night, May 4th, we're going to start a new service from 6 to 8 p.m., a time of worship and prayer. I'd love for y'all to come. I'd love for you to invite your neighbors, your friends. We're going to come and just gather, sing some songs, read some scripture, intercede for this city, that God would continue to break in and redeem and restore those broken places. So we're going to have focused time of prayer for the city and our country, of how God wants to use us. We're going to have time of healing prayer. If there's things in your life that you long for the Lord to heal, relationships to mend, whatever it might be, come join us. We're going to have some of our prayer team here that'll be off to the side, that if you want specific prayer for something, come and be prayed for. It's a come and go kind of thing. You don't have to be here for the full 2 hours, so come and go. But y'all, I think it's going to be a powerful way as we at St. Andrews seek to live more fully into what God is calling us to in this community, to be disciples who are truly making disciples. Amen? So let me pray. Father, we are so grateful. We're so grateful for the power of your word, that it transforms lives. It transformed this Ethiopian eunuch's life. And he was a man that we know from extra other readings went on to share the gospel in his community in a powerful way. So I pray that you would set us ablaze, light a new fire of your Holy Spirit in us, through us, that we would be a glorious light, that your kingdom would be extended through us. Father, we give you glory, and as we continue to worship, we continue to pray, come Holy Spirit, guide us and lead us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.